If you've been following the news and the newspapers over this last week, even up until this morning, you will have seen it's been quite a memorable week. Manchester United are top of the Premiership again, and England are winning rugby matches. There have also been some other events, like the Americans have got a new president, and the Anglicans have got a new Archbishop of Canterbury. So it's been quite a memorable week. And actually on the sporting front, some people would say it's been quite a memorable year. Certainly with the Olympics 2012 and, we've even had a Brit winning the Tour de France and a Scot winning a medal at Wimbledon and winning a first Grand Slam title. But the problem is that memories fade. Memories disappear over time. Already, the memories of the Olympics are beginning to fade. You know, who can remember what was going on 10 years ago when Rowan Williams was made the Archbishop of Canterbury? A while back, Charlie and I went to a deanery chapter meeting where we had a theologian, a biblical scholar, I think it was from Cambridge, talking about one of the new ways of looking at interpretation of Scripture and the importance of eyewitness accounts and the Gospels, particularly as eyewitness accounts. I mean, over history, there's been lots of different ways of looking at Scripture, the form that the Gospels and Scripture takes, the nuances at the sources that the gospel writers used, how they redacted and put together their various stories, the literary styles that they used, so on and so forth. I must admit I'm a little bit skeptical, because all of these ways of looking at it just seems to follow where society is, so that when the world was beginning to take things apart to work out how they worked, in the 19th and 20th century, that's what we were doing with Scripture. When literary forms came and there was a growth of the literary movement, then we had literary criticism. And right now, when we're looking at sociologically a very much an atomic and an individual society, it doesn't really surprise us that we're beginning to look at eyewitness accounts, the account of an individual, the memories of an individual as testimony to what went on when Jesus walked the earth. And this particular way of looking at Scripture, which has its merits, is that these accounts are very genuine. It's just people are writing down what they remember. You know, they're not trying to put a spin on it at all. These accounts are written from an eyewitness perspective and just a very genuine picture and perspective onto what was going on when Christ was on earth. And that's good, but we all know that the memories that we have are fallible. You know, we're quite good at, in some ways, at remembering the general, but not very good in remembering the specifics. And so, when the police are interviewing people, we know that people genuinely will say what they believe, but sometimes that's just not the reality. You know, can we remember, for example, which shoe we put on first this morning? Was it the right or was it the left? You know, was the person who walked in front of you to church this morning? You know, we're not very good at remembering specifics, but we are quite good at remembering the general, because our memories fade and our memories tend to be fallible. What we remember of the war depends on how old we were at the time and the particular personal impact that it had on us. And so that, what we remember changes. Remembrance Sunday in church is quite an interesting way to mark the remembrance of the wars. Because if you think of the program on the TV, I think it was last night, but it's every year. If you think about how we mark Remembrance Sunday, whilst it's in some ways implicitly religious, there's no real explicit mention of faith or of God. Poetry and prose, in many ways, take the place of scripture. The secular ceremony takes the place of the spiritual ceremony. And so, in a way, it's very strange that we remember Remembrance Sunday in the way that we do in our churches. Clearly, as Christians, we have a responsibility for pastoral care for all those who are impacted by wars and conflicts, and a duty to pray for those who are involved in those conflicts, either directly or politically. So, in a way, it's the whole question of Remembrance Sunday is why, what is going on, and perhaps one of the best ways of looking at it is we mark Remembrance Sunday so that we do not forget. Because the importance of the sacrifice that people made in laying down their lives for the countries in the great conflicts, whether that's the First World War, which, you know, some people even labelled as the Last Crusade, that was the war to end all wars, or the Second World War, or the numerous conflicts that have been since then. It's right and appropriate that we remember with gratitude those people who have laid down their lives, those people who are scarred as a result of those conflicts. There were some really raised eyebrows when the EU was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for 6 decades of peace. And in the citation, moving from a continent of war, it said, to a continent of peace. And it's, you know, it's absolutely true that, you know, when in 1952 the Iron and Coal Treaty was signed between the first 6 nations, France, Germany, Italy, Belgium, Luxembourg, and Netherlands, I think, that actually laid a foundation and actually made war between those countries really quite difficult. West Germany it was actually, but made war between those countries very difficult. And as that, as the EEC has grown, as the EU has grown, that commendation for 6 decades of peace, and that peace was brought about by the EU. Now there would be others as well who would say actually the EU came about because we were a continent of peace. You know, which came first, chicken or egg, EU or peace, peace or EU. But whichever way we look at it, we are able to mark Remembrance Sunday in a continent which is largely much more at peace now than it was 60 years ago. We mark and remember those who have died and those who have served their countries. And there is a sense in which Remembrance Sunday is a bit like a funeral. Because if you think of the motions that are happening at a funeral, we look back and give thanks for a life that has passed. We mark a particular event in the present time, a significant event which is the passing of a particular life. And we look to the future as we commend the body and the spirit to God's care moving forward. And as we think of Remembrance Sunday, we look back and we remember those who have died, those who have sacrificed all that they had. We mark a particular time in history. It is another year on since either the First or the Second World War or the conflicts where we remember people. It is another year since then. But we also look forward with hope to a society and a nation and a continent and a world that is more hopeful and that is more peaceful. And there's a sense in which Micah is picking up that same theme in our Old Testament reading. You can see in the notes in Partnership News when Micah was about, he was actually speaking to both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, to the cities of Samaria in the north and Judah in the south, Jerusalem in the south. And he is saying in his book that looking back, the people of Israel and Judah are found wanting in the way that they had treated those who were helpless. They were found wanting in some of their empty religious practices, which were just words and not real actions. He marks a significant event when he says, and those nations and those cities will be judged for that. And then looking to the future, those that repent and turn to God will see a new Jerusalem. There will be a new hope. And as we remember and mark Remembrance Sunday, we do those three same actions. We look back and remember and give thanks. We mark a particular event, but we look forward with hope to a nation and a continent and a world which is filled with peace and hope. But as Christians, we have a responsibility to take our full part in bringing about that peace and that hope, because the peace and the hope that the world needs is the peace and the hope that only God can bring. And God can only bring that peace and hope into the world if we as Christians play our full part in bringing and communicating that peace and hope which God brings through his Son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything so that the world itself may be at peace with God. Amen.
Amen.